Praise the Lord. We have come to the sixth lesson of the series, the Synoptic Gospels, which is a study of the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. During this lesson, we are going to look into the social and cultural background of the Synoptic Gospels. When we study the background of the Synoptic Gospels, in addition to understanding the political experience of the Jews, we must also try to understand the social and cultural factors as well. The years of foreign domination began to affect the social and cultural makeup of the Jewish people. One of the significant cultural factors at the time of Jesus was the increasing Hellenization. Now, if you describe in brief, Hellenization is the imposition of the Greco-Roman culture and language over the people under the Roman Empire. Greco-Roman is said because in conquering the Greeks, the Romans basically adopted their philosophy, religion, and culture. The Roman domination of Israel continued the process of Hellenization, which began with Alexander the Great. The continued expansion of the Roman influence in the life of Israel meant that important institutions and offices became dominated by Rome. The land and the government offices of Israel became subject to Roman control and Roman taxation. This foreign cultural and political influence affected the organization of Israel's governing constitution, which determined the law of the land, which molded the education of the Jews, and which even influenced the contemporary fashions and their dress patterns. In short, the Israeli culture was taken over by the philosophy, the thought, and the cultural values of the Romans. Many Jews felt that the Jewish distinctiveness, the language, the dress, the philosophy, and the religion was being undermined by pagan influences. So they resisted the influence of the foreign powers during their life and experience. We will now examine the different ways how the Jews tried to stem the tide of Hellenization. The Jews found themselves to be in a desperate struggle to prevent the identity of their people and their ways. In two primary ways, they tried to resist Hellenization. The first that we would say as acceptance and accommodation. Even in our day, those most willing to cooperate with the conquering power are those who have the most to lose. They are the ones who are motivated to cooperate by the threat of losing their own power, their influence, and their positions. The same was true during the time of Jesus. The upper class, the Jewish nobility, they sought to accommodate Roman domination in order to maintain their place in life. There were some Jews, as we saw previously, who sought to capitalize the political and economic advantage of becoming part of the Roman Empire. This is the route that Sadducees took. The Sadducees were the ruling aristocracy in Israel and had the most to lose as a result of the Roman occupation. They sought to cooperate with the Romans as much as possible so that they might hold on to their power and position. However, there was another different way. That was a kind of resistance that was carried out against the Romans, which we would call as rejection and rebellion. These type of resistant movement took two major forms. One is zealotism. Now, zealotism are the ones who took extreme violent measures to overthrow the Roman domination. The zealots believed that the true Jew was subject to God alone and not to Caesar. That Caesar Augustus was being worshipped as a god was very much disturbing to the zealots. Even paying taxes to Caesar was viewed as renouncing one's Jewishness and collaborating with the enemy. And we read that in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 17. To the zealots, the good Roman was a dead Roman. So they did everything possible to rebel and kill Romans during the time. From about 35 BC to 135 AD, there was a continual rebellion and terrorism against the Romans throughout all of the Palestinian regions. Among the zealots, there was a particularly a vicious set of the Jews who were called as the Sicarii. The word Sicarii describes the long curved knife that the Jewish zealots used to cut the throats of the Romans, and then they would disappear into the crowds. At the time of Jesus, political tensions were high and the threat of terrorism was in every place, everywhere. There was another sect that is commonly referred in the Gospels by the name of the Pharisees. Unlike the zealots, the Pharisees practiced a non-violent religious resistance to this increasing Hellenization. The word Pharisee comes from the Jewish root perush, which means to be separated. The Pharisees were the perushim, or the separated ones. The Pharisees sought to resist the increasing Hellenization through strict observance of the law and the teachings of the fathers. Phariseeism, if you call it as a religion, was not actually an official organization. Rather, it was a religious way of life. So in this respect, this was kind of like a lay movement. It was a religious movement which began among the people and was for the people. In the eyes of the Pharisees, the official priesthood of the temple had compromised the law of God. The priests had forfeited the right to interpret the Torah or the Jewish law. And these Pharisees or the separatists viewed themselves as true interpreters of God's word for the masses. So they sought to insulate Israel from foreign contamination by a very rigorous obedience of the law and a meticulous observance of the teachings of the fathers. In fact, Exodus chapter 19 verses 5 and 6 formed the basis of the religious program, which reads like this: Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you should speak to the Israelites. So the Pharisees viewed themselves as a kingdom of priests who must keep all the purity and all the regulations as than the priests who practice in the temple. They demanded that these regulations were to be practiced by everyone, every day and in everywhere. They sought to protect Israel from foreign contamination by the means of the halakha or the teachings. The purity had nothing to do with personal hygiene or being dirty. Rather, purity referred to the religious requirements which preserves one's relationship with God. The Pharisees viewed religious or ceremonial purity as a prerequisite of God's grace. So one can readily see that the ceremonial purity of the Pharisees was not simply an academic or a peripheral matter. Purity was the heart of Israel's struggle to preserve its identity and achieve the liberation from a foreign domination. This understanding of the religious life had far-reaching consequences for Israel. First, the Pharisees' understanding of the purity meant that doing the law became interpreted as not doing as the Gentiles do. Obedience to the law was no longer framed in terms of being like God. Rather, obedience to the law became what it meant by it not being a Gentile. Secondly, since God had separated Israel from other nations, Israel is obligated to be separate from everything that is unclean. A true Israelite is only to eat that which is clean and come into contact with only that which is ceremonially clean. The most extreme form of this religious mentality was seen in the Qumran community. This community, the people of Qumran, they completely separated themselves from Jewish society itself. Not only did they view the Gentiles as unclean, they also viewed all the Jews who lived in everyday life as ceremonially unclean. The people of Qumran viewed the priesthoods of Israel as corrupt. They viewed the temple as unclean, and they viewed the everyday rap and everyday work of the Jewish life as an abomination in the sight of God. They considered themselves to be the sons of light who would overthrow the sons of darkness, who were actually everyone who were apart from them in the community. So we can now draw some conclusions about how the Jewish response was to the Hellenization that affected their society. There was a lot of social polarization or social fragmentation which quickly developed in Israel. Large sectors of society became alienated from one another. For example, one sector, which is the Sadducees, they welcomed Hellenization, while other sector, that is the Zealots, they violently rejected it. On the other hand, the Pharisees rejected everyone who was not ceremonially pure. And finally, the Qumran community believed that anyone who attempted to live in society was condemned of God. So as we sum up this lesson, we understand that the intercultural segregation quickly developed into an intracultural segregation. Israel's intense desire to be separated from the Gentiles degenerated into a desire to be separated from one's non-observant of the Jewish brother. There were some unofficial divisions between them, like the true Israel and the fallen Israel. And there were some holy fraternities that came into existence throughout Israel. And it was in that kind of a society that Jesus lived and ministered. It was a society that alienated from itself. So the question of who is a true Jew was vital at the time of Jesus. And acceptance by God was not simply a theological question, but it was also a question of national identity. This concludes lesson number 6, that is the social and cultural background of the Synoptic Gospels. During the next lesson, we will examine the religious background of the Synoptic Gospels, and thereafter, we will go into the Gospels themselves. May God richly bless you.